Welcome to Return to Life, weekly inspirational and empowering conversations on a variety of topics regarding everything health, wellness, meditation, and movement, guiding you to discover the peace that resides inside of you and help you live a balanced and blissful life. It's time to return to life. Here's your host, inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler.
Good morning and welcome to Return to Life. I'm Pam Butler. You're listening to the Return to Life radio show on Vivid Life Radio. Our show today is about how to live an extraordinary life. I'm excited to introduce my guest, Poonacha Machaya. I met Poonacha last spring on a trip to India with the Chopra Foundation. We become really good friends. We have a great time when we talk. I'm excited to have our conversation today. Poonacha is a public speaker, a writer, a spiritual and well-being activist. He has over 20 years of global experience as a successful serial entrepreneur and business leader. He has co-founded Jayo, which is a well-being platform, along with Deepak Chopra. So he's going to share with us today all the exciting things that he and Deepak have been up to. So welcome, Poonacha. I'm glad that we found you, and I'm glad that you're able to join us on the show today.
Good morning, Pam. I'm glad to be on the show, and thanks again for having me.
So you're currently in New York City. You live in India, but you're currently in New York City, right?
That's right. I think I guess the Pope's in town, so it's been one interesting morning, the traffic.
Oh, I bet. So, Poonacha, Return to Life is all about inspiration. We all have a story. We all go through our dark times. So can you tell us a little bit about your life before you were living a balanced and holistic life like you are now? Maybe share some of the struggles or obstacles early on in your life?
Sure. So I was just thinking about on the way dialing into this show, I was taking memories back into when I first landed in New York. I landed in New York like every other, an Indian who wanted to come and study in the United States. This was in 1991 or 92. Very much in love, and I figured that the only way I could meet this woman or marry her was to kind of run away from home. And so I really came to the United States in 92 to really, left everything home in India. Came to do my very much in love, and landed in New York. And as soon as I landed in New York, I wanted to get back to India. And six months, and then my good friend, actually sending at UPenn, he basically says, "No, Poonacha, what did you just came here and you want to go back? What's wrong with you?" Interesting. First blow, because when I came to the U.S., I thought everything is going to be fine. I left India, it's a land of opportunity. And the first big blow was that we actually broke up the moment I landed. And it's pretty much, I think, from my perspective, everything I had believed in, everything I had ran, I kind of left behind, everything I kind of, thought love could conquer all, kind of came crashing down. And I would say that was one of my darkest moments in my life, because I was 20 years old, left my support structure, believed in one thing which I thought love conquered all, and landed up in the United States, the land of opportunity. And just within about a month, everything came, to a standstill. So that is, I would say, one defining moment which really got me to go back and think, ask my questions, who am I?
Right. So, that early on, at 20 years old, you were thinking that way?
Yeah. I think what happened was that, like I said, when you have nothing, basically you come with no money. So basically when I first came to this country, I realized that $1,000 doesn't go a long way. And then you kind of really start resetting and asking yourself very fundamental questions. What did I do? What I did? What is the real purpose of life? Why did I really come here? Did I really come here for one person? Was that a very selfish motive? And was this kind of teaching me something? And that was my first question, that maybe the path to happiness is not your own happiness, but finding happiness and doing things for others. Maybe happiness comes through service. Maybe happiness comes through seeing joy in others. And that really started my entire, journey or seeking about, and now do with the skills I have, which has been bestowed upon me. And being a technologist, I figured, let's just say that I can fix anything except broken hearts. And for everything else, I got technology.
Wow. So, early on, you're at that stage, you're starting to ask those questions. What was the first step that you took to kind of pick yourself back up? You know, it sounds like you stumbled, you fell, you hit a really dark time in your life. What was the first step that you took to propel yourself forward?
The first thing was kind of introspection. I think that's when I really started asking, getting into meditation, really asking, you know, what is this voice within me, which is still kind of out there, even though I thought everything, I lost everything, you know, I lost my sense of purpose. I think that's when the compass kind of started coming out. So, okay, Punach, you have two options. One is that you could become depressed and suicidal and then kind of say, this is the end of the world. Or you can take the gift you have, you complain you have no see a man who had no feet. And so you have these abilities, and now why don't you go out there and do something? And that became my driving force to say that I want to be a technologist with a purpose. Everything I do in technology has to solve a bigger purpose. It cannot just be building the next Angry Birds game, but some technology which actually moves the needle. And that was actually my first job, which I got into at Sprint in Kansas City, was about designing the prepaid calling card. This was in 1993-94. And that started my journey into technology and using technology as an aid to solve real-world issues, real-world problems. And like everybody else, I said, you know what, it's great to talk about philosophy, but you need to have economic, you know, value. You need to make money. And that became the driving force.
You know, but you hit on such an important part that I think so many people can relate to, either in their own lives or maybe, you know, a close family member or friend, and that is that tipping point, okay? You have the choice, and you said, you know, you had the choice to become depressed, to become suicidal, or you had the choice to pick yourself up and serve others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we can all at some point feel we could go one way or the other. Do you have something that you could share with our listeners that maybe they could apply to in their own lives on how do you make that choice for the positive? Because so many of us, human nature, you know, we tend to dwell on the negative or the bad. But you chose to look at the positive. So how did you do that?
Like you always say the same, you say you got hope, rope, or dope, right? And I think the only answer in most situations is hope. And the thing which I always tried and I kind of visualize is I always say unbounded positivity, right? Always go back and in any situation, just write down the situation, make a column, all the things which are going right, and also go and look at all the things which are actually going right in the world around you. Don't talk about you, but going around right around you. Then you realize that you are cause in the matter, that you actually have so much of a part that you can be partake of in that what's going happening around you. Because sometimes when you're going through something, you think you're the only person going through it, right? Then you kind of look around. Then you realize you're not actually that alone. There are many other people in the journey around you. So surrounding yourself with the right groups of people, getting part of the community. I really started getting engaged in the community. I was part of the volunteer fire department in Vienna, Virginia. You really realize that, you know, there's so much more to life, you know, than just you. And so getting
very active in the community. Absolutely. So I think that's, you know, we're going to take a quick break now, but I think that's where our conversation should go after the break. And that is, you know, this community of well-being that you're creating through your technology. So we'll take a quick break. You're listening to Return to Life with Pam Butler. My guest today is Punacha Machaya, and he's talking about how to live an extraordinary life. So after the break, we'll discuss what led Punacha to ask himself the questions, who am I, how can I serve, and then how he transformed into well-being. So please stay tuned.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do and life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher and spiritual coach, Pam Butler, guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams, filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Ianne LaVanzant, Marianne Williams, Greg Braden, Neil Donald Walsh, Michael Beckwith, and over 25 life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life conference in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Visit www.celebrateyourlife.org for more information. That's www.celebrateyourlife.org and reserve your seat now.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the Return to Life radio show. I'm Pam Butler, and I'm talking today with Poonacha Machaya. Welcome back, Poonacha.
We are now
going to talk about that aha moment when you began to make your shift into well-being. So when we were talking the other day about the show and, you know, reminiscing about the many conversations that we've had together, you were talking about your first project called the Weightless Project. Can you describe that for us a little bit and what that was about?
So I think after about 17 years living in the U.S. and two kids and married my wife, and I was like, maybe it's time to take a break. Maybe I should go and explore India. And when I really went to, I was thinking about moving back to India, I said, okay, India is this land of, you know, Ayurveda, yoga, and obviously they don't have a very good lifestyle. And I went back there, and this was in 2007, and it was becoming the diabetic capital of the world. And then I looked around, and also looking at some statistics, I realized when I was looking at this whole area of diabetes, looking at global thing, depression was like common cold. And, you know, the city I grew up in, Bangalore, has one of the very high suicide rates. So I started asking myself the question, what is going on here? How come a city which is known, you know, as the retirement capital and things like that has now a very high, you know, depression rate, suicide? And this is global, fam. This is not just Bangalore. You go to the United States, you see, I think people walk around saying, I'm stressed, right? And now
I love that comment, depression and stress, you know, like the common cold, because it's true. Everybody does walk around wearing their stress suit like a badge of honor.
Right.
So that's interesting. You identified that and wanted to work with that.
And then, like, you know, like we're working very closely with Chopra Center. That's about the time I also met with Deepak, who had come into India at that time with Oprah. And I looked at, there were some interesting trends going on, that we had basically, you know, nearly a billion plus people who were obese and overweight had lifestyle disorders. And you have three times as much who were actually underweight and have malnutrition. And how can we kind of bring this balance? Can we bring this homeostasis back into our societies? And I realized it's not so much about losing weight. I think losing weight is just one aspect of it. It was more about having a sense of empathy. You know, if I move today, will that help somebody else drink a glass of milk? And that was the genesis of the Weightless Project, that can we have a cause which just gets people to move and feel better about themselves, right? What I call building a sense of empathy.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, I think you kind of found that helping you to move forward was to reach out and help other people, correct?
Right, right. And at the same time, I think when Deepak said, I want to reach 1 billion people, I've written, 85 plus books. And then how do we kind of take people come to a well-being class, they listen to meditation, they come to your yoga class, and then what happens is that, a month from now, they're back to the old behavior. So you start looking at the next challenge, is that how do you create well-being as a behavior, as a lifestyle, and everybody can feel that, this is, they can actually do it. And that became the genesis of Jayo, looking at creating well-being communities, women who have postpartum depression or somebody who's going through diabetes or HIV or anything else, can we create communities in the local areas where they can kind of get together? And that was the genesis of creating this whole area of, can we make well-being a part of everybody's lifestyle?
So being able to be a part of a community no matter where you are. So
right.
Maybe explain now a little bit more about Jayo and the technology of Jayo and how technology can be your coach.
Right. I mean, at a very high level, basically, there are two fundamental questions we all need to know about ourselves. Right? Tell me something about me. Can technology tell me something about me and connect with people like me, right? So if I tell you, Pam, on the days you sleep less than 5 hours, these are the people you talk to, this is the kind of meetings you had, amount of time you spent on the road, and this is the weather and temperature, I've now created a sense of awareness within you. And you can then make the decision to make whatever change you want. You can say, you know what, maybe I'll take a different mode of transportation. So our goal, first level, is to give you the sense of awareness. The second step is, once you have the awareness, is to create a community around you, who is going through what I'm going through, right? And it's not like a Facebook group or a Twitter group or a Tinder group. It's actually intimate communities where people get together and discuss their well-being needs, and that's really the objective.
So anybody can access Jayo from anywhere. It's an app, correct?
Yeah, it's an app. It's free. We're going through beta. And what we're really looking at is looking at well-being holistically. It's not about getting six-pack abs, right? If you have six-pack abs, you could still be stressed out if your bank balance is zero, right? So what we look at is what we call the 10 facets of well-being. First one is intention. Second one is mind-body connection. Third is movement. Fourth is nutrition. Fifth, very important, is eliminating toxicity, people, substance, and place. Sixth is love and relationships. Seventh is sleep. Eighth is having a youthful mind. Ninth is career. And tenth is finance. When we start looking at these 10 small areas and create tiny habits every day, we actually start bringing about balanced and well-being into our lives. And that's really our purpose or our mission right now.
And how do you anticipate getting people to stay committed to that path? You had said earlier on that people will get started, they'll kind of, what do you anticipate that hook being to kind of keeping up with this?
Right. I think it's about creating value for the people, right? What we call, I call it the behavior change model. There are basically what I call, there's a cue. Everybody has a cue. Let's talk about smoking. The cue is, I finished meeting my boss. I had a meeting. The reward is, I want to relax. The routine is smoking, and the craving is nicotine. There are only 5 cues in life, which is people, place, emotion or preceding behavior. If I understand what are the cues in your life, and I basically tell you, Punacha, when you finish a meeting, maybe now instead of taking a smoke, it's a good time to go for a walk. Don't get people to stop smoking. Get them to start running. We are not that logical. That what we need is unbounded positivity in everything we do to say, try something new, take a tiny step, do something different. Sometimes we just forget that, in the lives we lead, we are very connected, but we're also super lonely, right? We have all the technology to be connected, but we're lonely as people. And unless we add value, we cannot bring about change.
Yeah, the change I think is the biggest step, because we are creatures of habit, and we kind of have that set point in our systems where, it's almost like a default button where we always resort back to our old behavior. So it's really, and what you're talking about with these communities and being able to coach one another to kind of change that set point to take you off in a different direction.
Right. First one to get some awareness. To introspection. So we will tell you, these are some of the symptoms or signs. And once you have that, the second one is to have a sense of community and belonging to be able to make those changes.
So what else are you and Deepak up to? I know you were meeting with him this week. Can you share any top secret program that you are currently working on with Deepak? We all want to know the behind the scenes.
You know, I think it's pretty much the same message. How do you reach a billion people? But then also, how do we kind of, you know, change the paradigm shift in well-being? So what we're really focused on today is, instead of saying the doctor will see you now, we want to change it to the patient will see you now. Like, you always go to the doctor when you are sick. The doctor doesn't know when you are healthy. And today we don't have the concept of a family physician. So what we want to do, and this is one of the things we're working very closely on, can we bring in integrated health, right? Can we bring in holistic healing into everything we do, right? So we kind of treat the symptom, not the wound. So we're working with a lot of cool technology, which everything is powered of the smartphone, which can help people really take care and build awareness into their own bodies. So that's kind of really been our focus, and I think a lot of discussion this week has been on that. How do we reduce healthcare costs? How do you put control back into people's hands where they can, you know, manage their own well-being?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and I believe it in 100%. You know, unfortunately, you know, the healthcare today is out of control in a lot of areas, and I've talked about on my past shows about how we have become a pill-popping society. So I think, you know, you definitely are stepping into new territory, which is great, and creating habits, creating communities, creating well-being, you know, allowing people to feel that they're a part of something. And again, that bigger question, how can I help? How can I serve? It's huge.
Right. And absolutely. Also getting back to our leadership, it's not always the government, it's not the mayor, it's not the, you know, it's not the governor, it's also the CEOs of companies. Today, you know, the CEO of Facebook has basically, I would say, is the largest country in the world, right? So how do we do conscious leadership? So two very passionate areas which we are looking at now is conscious leadership and conscious consumption. Because, you know, Gandhi had said that there's enough in the world for every man's need except for one man's greed, right?
Right.
Unless we understand consumption and overconsumption, we're going to, okay, basically, you know, not, this problem is not going to be solved. So it comes back to what you do, Pam. It's about, you know, you practice yoga, you practice meditation, and you basically ask yourself the four questions. Who am I? Right? What am I grateful for? You know, what's my purpose? How can I serve? And I think every time you ask these four questions, you kind of cultivate this discipline of introspection. And, you know, and we realize that a lot of the things we do today is basically rooted out of fear. And,
right,
you know, that's one of the things I've been trying to practice every day is a lot. I'm away from my family, my kids, and my wife. And you constantly have to ask yourself, what's your purpose? Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it the money or is it the higher cause? And I believe there are four things which kind of keep me motivated. One is to be authentic. Two is to have a sense of integrity in everything I do. Three is have a higher cause. And four is I'm causing the matter. Like, you know, these are the four things which kind of drive and say, okay, this is a cause I believe in and it's worth fighting for.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, I think if we can all, you know, if we can all adapt that mindset and we can all work together, working for one another, and I love that term that you used earlier, unbounded positivity, you know,
right,
always keeping things in perspective and helping one another.
Right. And I'm getting back to where I started when I was 20 years old. I was dejected with love. But I believe that there's only one thing you can do in life excessively is love, right? But the way we define love has to be different. It's not love with attachment to outcome, but love without attachment to outcome, which are two different things. It's not being detached. It's loving, but that's not attached to the outcome. So I
want you to end. You shared a really cute quote from, I think it was your grandfather, his words of wisdom to you that you shared, and I think it's a great quote, if you wouldn't mind sharing it with us today.
I think that we always get caught up with, you know, be a vegan, be this, be that, be this. And talking to my grandfather, who pretty much, you know, lived a pretty full life, he always says, eat lightly, drink moderately, exercise regularly, and love excessively. Love is something you can do across, you know, in your 20s, 30s, or 40s. And those three things have actually been, I think, the mantra of my life. When I came to the U.S. in the 20s, I always said, eat lightly, because you see so much. You want to do everything. You want to try out everything. And the 30s is drink moderately, because you know what, you want to look at balance. You can kind of think about your 20s and get depressed. And the 40s, I say, is like exercise regularly, because life just started. I'm in 45. I just realized now that life is a marathon. You better be fit, right? Mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And the one thing you can do to your 20s, 30s, and 40s is love.
Absolutely. I love it. Love more. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Poonacha, for sharing your story, sharing all the exciting new technology you're working on, creating communities, working with Deepak. We all love Deepak, and we love the things that you're bringing to all of us out here in the communities. You can connect with Poonacha on Facebook. You can connect with him on Twitter at Poonacha_BM. I also encourage our listeners to check out Jio. You can download the app. You can interact with other people and begin to live an extraordinary life. So next week, my guest will be Renee Rignalda. He's a master educator at the Chopra Center for Wellbeing. He's certified in primordial sound meditation and perfect health. He's a wonderful teacher. He has an inspiring story. So please join me next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. For now, this is Pam Butler. Thank you for listening to Return to Life. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you for listening to Return to Life with Pam Butler. As we all know, stress has become an epidemic in our society, contributing to more diseases in our bodies. Listen each week as Pam shares easy and practical information and tools to connect your mind, body, and spirit and return to a life that is more balanced and blissful than ever before. What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me. When we are young, we are taught how to walk and talk and read and write, but we aren't taught what to do and life feels insurmountable. Inspirational speaker, meditation and yoga teacher, and spiritual coach, Pam Butler, guides you to heal emotional anxiety, create mental clarity and calmness, relax the mind, center attention, and sharpen concentration. Book a session with Pam today and learn how to reclaim your inner peace by connecting the mind, body, and spirit. Log on to www.returntolife.com. That's www.returntolife.com to book your session and learn to love life again. You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.